Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Good Wednesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening Commodity Market Report. The Labor Department today says that the cost of producing goods and services in the U.S. rose slightly in January, with higher food prices partly offset by cheaper gasoline. The Labor Department says the Producer Price Index, which tracks prices before they reach consumers, rose 0.2% in January. Excluding the cost of food, energy, and markups by wholesalers and retailers, core prices ticked up just 0.1%. January's producer prices are the first to be compiled since the government revamped the index. Producer prices now include services and construction. Before last month, the index tracked only goods. China's National Development and Reform Commission today says that China will start stockpiling pork to fill government pork reserves to quell falling prices. The commission, China's top economic planning agency, did not state a target volume. China says that abundant hog supplies have caused the price decline. Fresh pork prices have fallen 8% since mid-December, that according to China's Ministry of Commerce. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is trading 16,153. It's up 23 points. The NASDAQ, 4263, down 9. The S&P 500, 1840, down 0.5 point. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Another winter storm will bear down on the Midwest as we go through the night tonight and into the day tomorrow and ending Friday. This storm system promises to produce heavy snows in the upper Midwest, while heavy rain and thunderstorm activity will occur in the lower eastern portions of the region. Snow accumulations across the western Corn Belt from Nebraska into parts of Wisconsin will probably run 3 to 8 inches, local totals over 10 inches, and we will see a little blizzard conditions evolving as we go through the day tomorrow, especially as we get into midday and late day tomorrow afternoon, when we'll likely see this storm system really wrap up and wind speeds will get over 30 miles per hour in parts of eastern Minnesota and Wisconsin, where the worst travel conditions are likely. Portions of Iowa will also see near blizzard conditions and will likely see travel most likely slowed greatly across these areas. The rain and thunderstorms that will occur across the lower eastern Midwest will come up out of the lower Mississippi River Basin and into the portions of Kentucky and perhaps southern Ohio. These storms will occur mostly during the afternoon on Thursday, but we'll see some strong thunderstorms already developing, perhaps early in the day tomorrow. These storms will likely produce some hail and some damaging wind. It wouldn't be out of the realm of possibilities for a couple of tornadoes to occur. Most of the severe weather will likely take place from Mississippi into parts of Kentucky, and we'll watch that real closely. There will be some heavy rain associated with these stronger thunderstorms. We could see some rain totals running 0.5 to 1.5 inches across a part of the region. This particular storm system will get out of the way by the time we get into Friday morning. We should be looking at quieter weather for a little while. A little secondary reinforcing shot of cold air will come into the region probably late in the weekend, early next week, as we get another polar vortex to center itself over portions of Ontario and eastern portions of Manitoba. That polar vortex will see to it the temperatures stay colder than average for many areas in the upper portions of the Midwest as we go through the early to middle part of next week. Some lower parts of the Midwest will cool off as well, but there will probably be some cloud cover and maybe a little bit of light snowfall occasionally that will hold the temperatures up just a little bit. Most likely the coldest temperatures across the Midwest will take place as we get into Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. Skies will clear off at that point in time, and the strong surface high pressure center will settle into the region. As that strong surface high pressure center becomes more focused on the eastern part of the U.S. as we get to the end of next week, there will be some return flow moisture coming northward out of the Gulf of Mexico, and this may set the stage for our first opportunity for meaningful precipitation in the southern U.S. plains. it's still quite questionable how significant that might be, but hard red winter wheat country as well as cotton areas in West Texas are still suffering from a serious drought and need to see substantial moisture over these next few weeks in order to give any hope at all that their planting season for the summer crops will occur normally and to provide help for the winter crops to develop normally as well. The temperature outlook across the Midwest over these next few days will be trending cooler, obviously. We're expecting to see the high temperatures this afternoon staying in a favorable range of 30s across the northernmost parts of the Midwest. 40s and some 50s will occur in the south. Tomorrow afternoon we'll look for similar conditions to occur. It may actually be some 60-degree readings in the lower Midwest, and that'll be followed by some cooling that will occur from north to south across the region beginning Friday and going on into the first part of next week. Our coldest weather will be probably Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. High temperatures at that point will be single digits and teens across the north, and we'll probably see some 20s and 30s occurring in the south, maybe a handful of lower 40s in Kentucky or the northern parts of the U.S. Delta. Our lowest temperatures at night will certainly occur during the early part of next week as well. We'll look for sub-zero readings occurring mostly northern Iowa, Wisconsin, northward to the Canada border, and we'll expect to see the most other areas experiencing low temperatures running mostly in the teens with a handful of single digits and a few lower 20s. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
The 25th annual All-Day Ag Outlook meeting is March 4th at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. And along with our great panels on corn, soybeans, and cash grain markets, we'll hear Sue Martin's agricultural outlook. Murray Wise will give us the lowdown on land values in 2014. And we'll get everyone up to speed on the commodity title of the new farm bill. The cost is $30 and includes a continental breakfast, beef house lunch, and 25th anniversary commemorative hat. Guarantee your spot. Register now at 217-333-7300 with your major credit card and we'll mail your tickets. That's 217-333-7300. Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter May wheat is 677.5, up 1.5. Soft May wheat 608.75, up 1.25. March corn 450.25, up 3/4. December 464, up 1/4. March soybeans 1365.75, up 4.75. November 11.39, up 1. March soybean meal 459.30, up 2.40. March soybean oil 40.30, down 6. February live cattle 143.85, up 10. March feeders 171.55, down 15. April lean hogs are 97.62.5, and they are up 25. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities. He is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave. Glad to be with you again.
I want to talk a little bit about export inspections and just not to put too fine a point on it, ask you should, despite the strength we're seeing in corn, should shipments be a concern?
You know, I don't think so at this particular point in time. I think realistically, we've got the sales basically building on the books. We are probably going to need to see some export facilities or logistical passages open up for corn, and I think that's going to happen when we slow down our bean exports. And I also think that's going to help our wheat out a little bit. But at this particular point in time, I think we're utilizing our facilities at a pretty high rate, and that I'm not overly concerned about the way we're moving about at this time.
You know, non-commercials have gone net short, net long, so much of the rally in corn has been short covering. Are we now going to see people begin to establish new net long positions on ideas of longer term building for corn prices?
You know, looking at the charts, I think that is indeed a possibility. I think the range-bound trade that we've seen over this extended period of time has developed a very nice base on the charts. But when it comes to the technicals, the first thing we want to do is go back and look at what is my fundamental catalyst that can make things happen. Taking a net long position from a speculative chair is one thing, but I'm going to have some additional business to make it happen. I think maybe we've understated our demand base for corn going forward. We might have done some quantity demanded loss over the last couple of years, but maybe the demand base is regenerating itself. Going forward, we're going to be looking for indications of that just about every day.
How about on Friday, USDA lowering the baseline acres for corn?
You know, I think that's indeed a possibility. That's in line with our expectations. You know, the price being what it is, cost of production is still up there. Some guys are just going to have to come back and say, I can't do corn this year.
A comment about soybeans where the price action says we're not rationing fast enough.
That's exactly right. What we're talking about in the House is we need to get our price high enough that we are going to basically stop exports. And so far, 10 or 15 cents isn't going to do that. It's probably going to be a little bit more. So we need to probably bump this thing up with just another 20 or 30 cents and really send the signal that we can't export any more beans.
Thank you much, Bill.
Thank you, Dave.
Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities. He is in Lafayette, Indiana. Current tick in the marketplace. March corn, 450 and a quarter, up three quarters. December, 464 and a quarter, up a half. March beans are 1366, up five. November, 1139 and a quarter, up one and a quarter. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL, 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana. It's now 9:01 Central Time.